Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 181 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and we are now a week into the 2018-19 NBA season. So today we're going to talk about surprises and disappointments from that first week. Before we get underway, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles to give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Joining me, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going great. I mean, our government isn't getting bombs left and right.
That's an upgrade over ours.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, it was fun. I was like offline all morning, and then I get back to my computer, and that's the first thing I see. I'm like, all right, good start to the day. Wonderful.
Just your average Wednesday in America right now.
you're not far off.
So let's skip into something way more positive.
Yeah.
Can we please open with the Denver Nuggets, Brian?
We sure can. Yeah, we'll start with the good surprises. All right, hopefully most of them are good surprises, and then we'll move into the disappointments later. So yeah, boy, let's start with the Denver Nuggets.
Okay, here's a hot take. This is not a surprise.
Well, okay, so them being this good is not a surprise. But we were very much on this island all summer. Right? And I don't even think it was an island. I think most people who were paying attention knew the Nuggets were going to be really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise, I mean, look, it's a 4-game sample size, so I'm not making grand proclamations here, but like the surprise is that they are tied with Boston for the best defensive rating in the league. I think that does qualify as a genuine surprise.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Just because like they had a bottom, I think they were bottom 5 last year, like definitely bottom 10. So
yeah, it wasn't
again,
good.
It's yeah, they were 23rd last year. So like, again, it's early. I'm not going to say like this is, you know, Denver, I don't think is going to lead the league in defensive rating this year. I think they're due for some regression to the mean. You know, they got to beat up on Phoenix, but like holding Golden State to 98 is impressive. I mean, holding the Clippers, like the Clippers are feisty. Holding them to 98 was impressive.
Right.
That's notable. And I think also Matt Moore of the Action Network was saying this on Twitter last night is like, this is what, if you're going to be a true Western Conference contender, if you're going to be a team that's going to win 50 plus games, this is what you need to do. You need to beat up on the bad teams. You need to blow out the Suns. You need to blow out the Kings like the right. Nuggets have done. You know, it's like what the Spurs do every year. Like they blow out or they just like trounce these sub 500 win teams. And then if you go 50-50 against the good teams, you're still at 50 plus wins.
Right.
Like, that's the sign of a very good team. So yeah, like I'm glad we were all in on Denver heading into the season. They look as good as advertised.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about my second seed in the West right now. It may not hold up, but at least for the time being, I look smart.
Yeah.
Which is a rare thing to do and hard thing to do as well.
You can still fly that Donovan Mitchell flag as long as you want, man. Yeah, that gives you like a 5-year amnesty for any bad picks just because you're so on Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, so if Caris LeVert wins MIP this year, does that give me an extension? Okay.
Yes, nice. Absolutely. let's go to a team that at least I was wrong about early in the season, the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we crapped all over them. We were like, what the hell are they doing? They don't have a real point guard. DJ Augustine ain't the answer. they're 2-2, and they beat the Boston Celtics already.
Yeah. So I'm genuinely
surprised.
But haven't you learned from your mistake yet?
What's that?
Remember last year?
Yeah.
They started 8-4. Like, and they ended up with, like, what was it? Like 25-57.
Right. Yeah, it was not good.
So I'm just kind of hesitant right now with the Magic, but all right. If we're going the route of initial surprising or surprisement, sure. I'm going to give them that benefit. I will say this, though. They still need a point guard. They still need to figure out what the hell how they round out that starting unit. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is Jonathan Isaac? What is his role? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that the surprising development is, look, like, they do eventually need a point guard, but, like, Nikola Vucevic, he's second on the team in assists right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's impressive. And Evan Fournier, I mean, you were on this early in the year. Like, you suggested they might do a little bit of point Fournier, and, like, there he is, averaging almost 5 assists per game.
Yep.
He's been good.
He's just swung the ball around, so it's not like he's, you know, reinventing the wheel from the point guard position.
Right.
But, like, he's just becoming a more active playmaker. I will say this about Vooch, right? So this is interesting because Vucevic has been mentioned in trade rumors, it feels like, forever now.
Yeah.
And he's not one of those guys who are being put in, you know, the unicorn conversation.
Right.
That's fair. But over the years, he's developed in a way that, you know, we haven't given him enough press to say it out, to be frank. Like, so he developed a 3-point jump shot. He's still a very good rebounder. He can still finish around the rim. Mm-hmm. Now he's become this passing big as well. So now he's a shooting big who can pass and initiate the offense. Not, you know, to Nikola Jokic extents.
Right.
But, like, he can make the offense happen from a playmaking perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he's only lacking one thing right now, and that's the defense.
Right.
Are we still going to knock him?
No. I mean, like, he's on a very affordable contract this year.
Right.
It's like $12.5 million, someone like that. It's $12.75. And, yeah, I mean, you said it. Like, he went from before 2017-2018, he had never averaged more than 3 assists in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he averages 3.4. Again, it's super early. It's a week. But he's at 5.3 right now. Like, they are running a lot of their offense through this guy. And, you know, as you said, like, he's been mentioned, he's been a fixture of trade rumors for years. This is the last year of his contract. Logic would dictate eventually, like, Orlando, if they fall off from this pace and they fall out of the playoff race by February, like, it theoretically makes sense to trade this guy because you have Mobamba, you have Isaac, you have Aaron Gordon. Like, that is some permutation of that is your front court of the future.
Right.
But, like, suddenly it looks like, you know, Vooch feels like he should be able to fetch a pretty decent return if they do go that route.
Or, like, he is some team might sign him for somewhat cheap because word isn't out on him yet. By the way, today is actually his 28th birthday.
Happy birthday, Vooch.
Happy birthday, Vooch, if you're listening. But here's the thing. That's not old. That means that he's going to be 28 by next summer. If he signs a 4-year deal, that's going to take him into age 32, and he doesn't rely on athleticism a lot.
Yeah.
So if teams have this tendency of underrating him, like, let's assume, of course, that his progression maintains. Like, he is going to be a guy you can not necessarily run the offense through, but would function very well, like, as a secondary initiator.
Mm-hmm.
And he can stretch the court. And he can still rebound. And he can give you, like, 17 to 18 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude should probably be getting, like, $24 million, even if he's that bad defender. But if word is not on it yet, and if teams are still kind of underrating him, and someone gets him for, like, $16 or $17 million a year, that's one hell of a deal.
Yeah.
I would buy stock in Vooch.
I would too. I mean, he seems like such a perfect fit for, say, I don't know, the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's a good one.
Right? I mean, I'd be interested to see. It'll be tough for them to make a deal work. they definitely can't until like December 15th at the earliest, but that's a name I would keep an eye on if I'm a Lakers fan. I'm worried about, yep, you know, the lack of front court depth there as the trade deadline gets closer, and we'll we'll get to the Lakers later, but as the trade deadline gets closer, you know, that seems like a possible mix. I think that the problem for Vooch's market is what we've discussed for a while. It's like a lot of teams are pretty set at center. It's hard to find a team that has a long-term opening there. I guess Dallas actually might make some sense.
Yeah. Because DeAndre leaves. Yeah. And DeAndre is, I want to say, 30 right now.
Yeah, 30 or 31.
All right, but that's still in the same age bracket as Vooch. So. It would make sense. He would at least fit into the timeline of Harrison Barnes, which isn't a bad thing. Yeah, Dallas could work. They like their spacing big men.
Yeah. Yeah, just having another good passer next to Luka and Dennis Smith Jr.
Oh, man. Oh, that team might lead the league in passers per game.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be fun. And, you know, I was going to say Brooklyn, but I forgot about Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Oh. The Knicks?
Ooh. Now that the corpse of Joakim Noah is gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
him
so.
Next to Kristaps? I mean, right. Obviously that lineup would be all offense. But right, good right. Lord, what an offense.
Yeah, especially if they can't get, you know, if Kevin Durant doesn't go there or whatever, they can't get their top free agent target. Like, yeah.
They could play legitimate five out. Like, both those guys can shoot.
True. I'm just happy this is the first time we've spoken positively about the Magic on this podcast in a long time.
So. This is true. So we're getting all five Magic fans back in the fold now. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Congratulations, Magic fans. Welcome back on board. We hope this continues. I mean, the upcoming schedule, they got Portland Thursday at Milwaukee Saturday, but then Kings, Clippers, Spurs, Cavs, like, they've got some winnable games early.
They do, but this is going to be the one and only time they're going to be, you know, 500
about
this 500. Year.
Yeah, because, like, come late November, they are home against Toronto, and then they have a six-game road trip. Nuggets, Lakers, Warriors, Blazers, Suns, and Heat. Good night.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
Good night. So, yeah, Magic fans, get your tweets off now, because things are probably going to take a turn for the worse. But congrats. Yeah. I mean, you've been fun to watch this first week. This one hurts. Blake Griffin. Yeah. Blake fucking Griffin. Where did this come from?
I think it's internal improvement in terms of maturity, really. You know, I think he got so caught up in the whole Lob City thing that it was more about, you know, the posters, the fan excitement, the need to make a highlight play to keep the crowd involved or something like that. And now, like, he's gunning from outside, like, he's getting to the free throw line, he's playmaking. He was always a good playmaker, but he's just building on that. It just seems like he's more at peace with himself and kind of relying on his skills instead of his athleticism, which has been a critique forever with him, right, by the way. Like, it's always been, dude, you have the skills. Mm-hmm. Why would you need to jump 16 feet in the air every damn time, right? I mean, right, it's not important. Like, just do your work. And he did. He certainly did put in work against your Sixers.
He sure did, yeah. I mean, a career-high 50 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. He shot 20 of 35 overall, 5 of 10 from 3. Did not shoot well from the free throw line. Missed a bunch early, but then came back and hit some big ones late. I mean, like, look, Ben Simmons didn't play in that game, and I think he would have seen a decent amount of Blake for defensive responsibility, because, like, Dario just got worked, and Covington, like, Blake's just too big for Covington. Blake just backed him down, so I really think Simmons was their only option, and he was out with back tightness, so, you know, that opened the door for Blake to have a monster game. But, like, kudos to Blake for taking advantage, man. Like, he hit some big threes late.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, that's, like, that seems notable to me. I mean, like, this might just be you know, maybe this is like a new Blake Griffin under Dwayne Casey. We were wondering going into the season, how does he get Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond to coexist? And so far, the answer is pretty damn well.
Yeah, I would agree. And it also seems like Detroit has, I don't want to say abandoned, but they've gone away from the whole, you know, Andre Drummond setting up the offense all the time mentality. Yeah. And, you know, I'm torn on that because what I told you a couple months back or a couple weeks back even, I think, was that I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, you know, it's not like Drummond lost the capability of passing the basketball. Right. So what they're doing right now is just basically putting everything through Blake. And when, and that's is definitely going to be a when and not if, the defense begins to adjust to it. Like, there you have Drummond who can suddenly take over that responsibility, which allows Blake to feed off of that. So, you know, I don't mind that they've kind of underutilized Drummond here early on because, you know, you can always go to him later.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, my concerns with Detroit, like, look, they're off to a 3-0 start. They're clearly, you know, a pleasant early season surprise. That said, like, two of their wins were against the Nets and the Bulls, neither of whom figure to make the playoffs this year. So much like Magic fans, I would advise Pistons fans to like chill a little bit before feeling themselves, because look, this team is still not super deep. You've got Griffin, you have Drummond, you have Reggie Jackson, who's been okay. Like, he hit some big shots, but you know, he's shooting only 42% overall. Reggie Bullock is like their one reliable three-point shooter. Ish Smith is providing some nice offense off the bench, but like, it gets dark after that, man. It's like Langston Galloway, Stanley Johnson, Zaza, who literally, like, I don't care that the Sixers lost last night. They technically won because Zaza did not hurt Embiid. I figured when Embiid, especially after he drew that second tech on Drummond and got him ejected, I thought Zaza was coming in, like, out for blood. So I am happy that Joel Embiid made it through that game unscathed. But, you know, like that, they, Luke Kennard, Glenn Robinson, like they just don't have much depth.
Okay. So if, okay. Pistons Twitter is coming for you. You just knocked Luke Kennard. They are coming for your ass now.
I mean, I'm just going to say Donovan Mitchell to them over and over again. That will.
That's my job.
I know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Blake is playing at an MVP level right now, but he needs to be. And they're still, like, barely, you know, they beat the Nets by 3. They beat the Bulls by 2. They beat the Sixers by 1 without their second best or best player, depending on how you feel about Simmons versus Embiid. Like, they have a home and home against Boston coming up. They're at Philly at the beginning of November. I mean, the rest of their schedule right now, early season schedule is pretty soft. They've got Cleveland, the Nets, Orlando, Atlanta. But then, like, they've got Toronto at the middle of the next month, a home-and-home against Houston. They're going to get some early tests. So I'm interested to see, like, how legit this team is. Because I think you and I both picked them for the playoffs for that eighth seed.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, just because they're 3-0 right now, I'm not going to go say, oh, wow, they should have been the 4 seed. We were too low on them.
Agreed.
I think we had them right in range, but... like it's a testament to Blake. I didn't see this start from Blake Griffin coming.
No, I don't think anyone did. I will say this because I agree with you in regards to the lack of depth. But if Luke Kennard, like, it is his second season after all, and it is very, very early. So if he starts, you know, producing in the manner of that we could expect him to, you know, that will help balance that team, and that will help drive some wins home as well. And it's not like they can't be active on the trade market by the February trade deadline.
That's true.
There are definitely some movable assets that they can take care of.
That is very true.
Also, Glenn Robinson is there, and he just hasn't had, like, a whole lot of opportunity. Like, he's better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully they will start going deeper into their bench as the season goes on, but right now the production has been limited to...
yeah.
Really, like, those five guys, Griffin, Bullock, Jackson, Drummond, and Smith. And outside of that, it's been, you know, you're just getting whatever you can out of the rest of them, but you're not getting much.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... has anyone seen the bride and groom? Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's talk about another Western Conference team that no one should be surprised is as good as it is. But the extent to which they are performing on offense is flabbergasting. The New Orleans Pelicans, man. Like we, you and I were all over them in the offseason again. We thought, like, the combo of Davis, Mirotic, and Randall was just going to be sensational. And yep. Nothing from the first three games have proven us wrong.
Correct.
But, man, like, yep. Hanging 130 on the Rockets, almost 150 on the Kings? Like, I mean, Davis and Mirotic, once Boogie went down last year, that combo was sensational for the last couple months of the season. But, like, Mirotic is playing better than I expected at the start of this year.
Yeah, he's just taking, you know, shots within the flow of the offense. For the most part, some are heat checks still. They're just going in. Right. So it depends on, you know, how much you can rely on that. He's not going to continue averaging 28 and 10. But his shooting presence is going to be, a consistent factor within the flow of their offense. I wouldn't be surprised if Nico ends this year with, like, 250 three-point makes. Like, he's just going to space that court indefinitely. And then you have Davis, who is just... He's cleaning up everything right now. That someone has, you know, given him a driving lane or whatever, like, he's going to the hole and he's doing stuff. Like, he's just been, absolutely unbelievable. Like, we had him both, I believe, second in the MVP race. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's certainly proving us wrong right now.
Right. I'm nervous about, like, and Giannis is playing really well, too. That was who we both picked for MVP. At, you know, 1 week into the season, if I were going to end it today, I think Davis wins it. Like, so far, those two guys are, like, out to the races. And I think, you know, after them, there's probably a cluster of guys a little bit further back. But, like, those two guys are the clear early front runners for this award. Right. And I think Davis has pole position right now. Like, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Like, my God.
Yep. And here's something crazy. And scary, Drew Holiday has had a horrible start to the season. Yeah. So when he finds his rhythm, like, then that might offset, you know, the statistical decline of some of the other guys, which are not sustainable. You know, the current production isn't sustainable at this point. So when he gets it going, like, that will help offset these things. I'm really looking forward to seeing them by, you know, game 25 and 40.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean Nico isn't going to keep shooting almost 48% from three?
You know, here's the thing. I could sit here and crack jokes and go, no. It's Nico. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say anything about Nico. He's the most unpredictable player in the NBA at this point. So
yeah.
I don't want to say anything. He could end up shooting 55% on high volume by the, you know, All-Star break. I have no idea.
I will confidently predict Drew Holiday will not stay 0% shooting from three. He is 0 of 11 right now.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to make a three-pointer sooner rather than later.
I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, man, that Pelicans team is super fun. I just pray to God that Anthony Davis stays healthy, because we deserve to see this, him, like, at this supercharged version of himself. And, like, God, it's absurd that he's still this young, too. Like, if he's doing this in his age 25 season, what's he going to do in a couple years?
Better.
How?
I don't know.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. Look, insert Celtic fan comment here. Well, he's probably going to be statistically lower because he's going to be sharing the court with Kyrie and Jason Tatum and all those guys. There's a part of me that don't want to see that, because I want to see him put up 30 and, like, 15 every night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, this whole season is, like, get Anthony Davis to sign your Supermax contract next summer.
Yeah.
This is a pretty convincing start for him. I mean, I know it's going to be tough to retain both Nico and Julius Randle next summer because they don't have Randle's bird rights. So, like, there are still some big decisions ahead for this Pelicans franchise, but what more do you want if you're Anthony Davis right now? Like, right. This just must be super fun to play on this team and have this type of firepower next to you.
Yeah. I think the question here is, for the Pelicans to go from being, you know, an exceptional regular season squad and into, like, a legitimate playoff, you know, not playoff contender, obviously, they're going to be in the playoffs, like a title contender.
Yeah.
They need a guy who's been on the roster before when they were the Hornets, Trevor Ariza. Like a guy like him, they need a 3-and-D guy who's not Solomon Hill.
Right.
Right now they're starting Etuan Moore at the 3. Etuan is very, very good, but he's also 6'4", and he's not exactly an athletic marble.
Yeah.
Like, you need a guy who's got some size, who's got some wingspan, who's got some, defensive chops. And honestly, like, if you'd asked me this a year ago, I would have said no way. I would be floating around the idea of trading the first rounder.
Mm.
I would.
Because you figure it'll be in the 20s at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Like, they traded their last year's first rounder to the Bulls, for Nico. But, like, look, that trade right now is looking pretty damn good for the Pelicans. So, and they're right there. Like, they have a superstar who's going to go down as one of the greatest big men maybe in history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't waste your time thinking about, oh, can we get someone, at the 20 spot? And also, like, the 2019 draft is supposedly going to be very weak. Move it, if you can, for a wing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they... Because you're right. Like, Etuan Moore, in the playoffs, if they're playing the Warriors, like, Kevin Durant's just going to eat his lunch. Like, they have no one on the roster right now that can slow down Kevin Durant. So they do need to make some move at some point. It'll be interesting to see whether it's via trade or, like... I would assume they might be able to lure a decent player via buyout.
Could be. Just lunch, though. Lunch, dinner, Christmas turkey.
Yeah. all right. There are a couple other Western Conference teams. Like, again, it's early. Read as much into the standings as you will or at your own peril. But, like, right now, Memphis is currently 2-1, tied for fifth. The Mavericks are 2-1. The Clippers are 2-2.
The Dallas Mavericks are 2-1. Brian, I'm very confused by this because, Luka Doncic, he's doing some weird things against these NBA players. You need to help me out. I can't comprehend what I'm seeing because supposedly he could not do this against NCAA athletes. Brian, I'm so confused. Right. How is he doing this?
He is still too fat to be an NBA player.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, and he's soft, too, right? Because I forgot. Oh.
Right. Yeah, those 26 points he hung on the Timberwolves. Fake news.
If that had been an average American college player, that would have been 45.
Right. God. Yeah, if the Timberwolves were Kentucky, could he?
I'm part of a Danish Facebook group. Whenever there's a post about Luka Doncic, I go, "Bud," and now they've gotten so used to it that all I have to write is "Bud dot 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 dot." Like, everyone knows what I'm about to say. Like, it's so just good. Become a running joke over here in Europe. Like, you know, America didn't help their basketball knowledge brand.
Sure.
Well, this summer.
Don't blame America. Just blame the Kings.
Like, I am blaming the Kings. Like, look, I didn't have the Kings on this list of neither surprises nor disappointments or whatever, because I feel whatever happens, like, if they had started hot, I would just have expected them to, like, go back in the basement at some point.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
I just think, we kind of alluded to this through while we were doing our previews over the offseason, was like, I don't think Memphis, Dallas, the Clippers, I don't think they stay in the playoff picture. I mean, right now, like, Minnesota's out, Utah's out, Houston is out, the Lakers are out, the Thunder are out. Those teams will get better. That said, like we said this, like these teams, there are a lot of teams in the West, they're just going to be annoying to play, and they're like good enough to beat you if you have an off night. And that's what like Memphis, Dallas, the Clippers, the Spurs too, like they're not bad teams. Like there are only two really truly bad teams in the West, and that's the Kings and even the Suns. Like they're going to miss the playoffs, but they're, you know, they have enough talent to surprise you if Devin Booker goes off or whatever, or Ayton goes off. Like there aren't gimmies. So like shouts to Memphis and Dallas and the Clippers for, you know, for putting up a fight and like not going into the season resigned that, oh, we're in this brutal West Coast conference, we have no chance of making the playoffs. Like right now it's just anyone's game.
Yep. So I'm going to bring up something controversial.
Okay.
Because the NBA world has been out on this guy for a long time. And okay. I get it. But we need to at least acknowledge that Derrick Rose is an NBA player.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we've seen that a lot. Derrick Rose is not an NBA player.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Offensively, he is, at the very least. You know, he's still capable of doing things. Yeah, it may take him 13 shots to score 15 points. But he's getting into the heart of the defense. He's also passing fairly efficiently. He's helping out on the glass, coming off the bench. You know, should he be playing 28 minutes a game? No, he shouldn't. But he's shown me enough to at least, you know, ignore the noise about him not being a player, an NBA player. Like, I get it. You mentioned something before we started recording. Like, a lot of the backlash relates to the sexual assault case or the rape case. You know, I get it, and you know whatever your feelings is about him regarding that, entirely fair. But in terms of basketball, like he's doing something. That's been a surprise.
Yeah, I mean it's, you know, it's a testament to Tibbs, I guess. If that's, I don't know if that's the right word.
I don't know.
But, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, Tibbs believed in him, and he's rewarding Tibbs' faith. But as you said, should he be playing this many minutes? Probably not. Should Tyus Jones be getting more minutes? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a credit to Derek for, like, how many people have said, like, he's just done as an NBA player. And he's coming out and saying, like, look, man, I'm not my MVP self anymore, but, like, I could still play basketball at an NBA level.
Right. I have a stat for you, by the way. So Minnesota is tied for first in terms of how many games they've played. They've played four, which right now is the max. 11 players have suited up. Totally.
That's actually surprising.
Well, everyone else is like at least 13 deep. Like at least, really? I mean, look, I've been looking over like the stats from almost every team. Like they have the shortest tables on Basketball Reference right now. Just 11 players, and one doesn't even count. It's CJ Williams, who's played one game in 8 minutes. Like if you remove that, it's like 10 guys.
But like Josh Okogie's gotten some minutes. I'm surprised.
He's actually he's actually played almost 27 minutes a game in the two games he's played.
Yeah.
I was high on Josh Okogie. I told you, like he would win minutes because he's defensively inclined. Oh, now that we're on the subject of the Timberwolves, that Jimmy Butler dude is kind of playing pretty damn well, Brian.
I mean, I think the surprise is that he's still on the Timberwolves.
Yep.
Like, no part of that whole preseason saga suggested that he was going to be a Timberwolf on opening night. Or that he would be a Timberwolf through the first week of the season. But now I'm starting to think, like, they just don't seem to be in a rush. Like, he might be there till the trade deadline.
Yeah. And you know what? They'll enjoy his 25 points, 6 boards, 3 steals. Like, oh, he's been amazing. He's been absolutely... I mean, he's coming... It's funny. Like, Jimmy didn't have anything to prove. But he's come into this season with this mindset of, oh, I have something to prove. Which is...
Right.
That, you know, I've been laughing my ass off at that because that should be Cat.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Well, here's another surprise for the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. There isn't a single player averaging 35 minutes a game.
Well.
Is Tibbs learning?
Well, I mean, 34.7 for Jimmy.
Yeah. But aside from him, it's 32 for T. It is. The next highest. Like, Towns is at 31. Wiggins is at 27.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look. I know. So here's the thing, right? You always, like, Tibbs turned 60 this year. That's when you start to learn, right?
Yeah.
that's when especially white males are way more flexible towards change. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know
what happened.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Do you have any other surprises, or should we head into the disappointments?
This is not as much a surprise, but I'm dicking the rookie class, obviously. Mm. You know, I don't think a lot of it is sustainable. I don't think Trae Young is going to average 23 points and 8 assists in his rookie season. I will give him credit for that 35-11 game he had against the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. Like, I saw that one. He was crossing people over, draining deep threes. Like, he was on his, you know, Oklahoma shit right there. Yeah. But I'm really digging the overall direction of this draft class. I mean, the NBA seems to be in a very, very good groove in terms of getting high-quality players in almost every season. And I think it's extremely crucial they do get that as well this year because, again, as I mentioned, like, next year's draft class, supposedly not that good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good year to have multiple picks and a bad year to have multiple picks if you're looking ahead to 2019.
Yep, I would say so. I would say so. So, yeah, so good on all those rookies. Hope they keep it up. There has been some players in there that I really like to watch who are playing, you know, under control and looking wiser beyond their years.
Yeah. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looks good.
Yep. That was the guy I was thinking about. Him, yeah. Wendell Carter also, Miles Bridges. Like, those three have really... And I know, you know, Wendell Carter has not had the strongest stat line.
Right.
That, you know, forget about the stats on this one. Like, this dude changes defense. So,
yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, then, let's move into the disappointments. We're going to try not to be hot takey, because, again, it's the first week of the season. But I will ask you for every one of these, like, how concerned are you?
All right.
So I'm going to go, we have to start with the Lakers, obviously, who are 0-3.
Yeah.
How concerned are you about the Lakers moving forward? Do you think, is this, you know, I've already seen some people saying, like, oh, well, you know, they're 0-3. They're without Ingram for a couple more games because of the fight. They're without Rondo for a couple more games because of the fight. They might miss the playoffs because of this first week. Are you there yet?
No. No. Every time LeBron has changed teams, they've started slow. I mean, come on. If you haven't caught up by now, like, stop. You know, wise up. Research. Yeah. I'm not concerned about their record. What I am concerned about is, you know, those antics. Like, Rondo's spitting on CP3. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of who you are, I know that Rondo is beloved by young players around the league that he's played with.
Yeah.
I don't care. That's not a good example. That is not how you conduct yourself on the basketball court. And, you know, LeBron came in there and, you know, I'm assuming, said, you know, I want this and this and this guy. I don't want another J.R. Smith in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, came the supposed ability of Rajon Rondo. And he pulls something like this. And what I'm weirded out by is, you know, Rondo was not exactly a candidate to do this, but neither was, you know, Brandon Ingram. Him losing his cool the way that he did, like, that just makes me even more unsettled, because if he's a guy who's beginning to be more emotional, I don't want him added to this crazy list of Rondo, McGee, Stevenson, Beasley, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I hope that the chemistry holds up for him, but there is a slight concern there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if anything, I'm concerned about their defense, just because they haven't really played defense all that well.
Right.
I mean, they're They're 25th in terms of defensive rating. And again, it's early. It's a 3-game sample size here. So, like.
Yeah, but allowing 132 points per game is probably not a great thing. You know, yeah. Overtime game, though. But, you know.
Yeah, but, like, they haven't. Like, each of their first 3 opponents have scored at least 120. That's not ideal. Now, they get Phoenix on Wednesday, then a back-to-back with Denver on Thursday. So there's, you know, they're probably going to beat Phoenix and get their first win tonight.
Right.
Denver is going to be their chance for a statement game. Then they've got, you know, a couple of tough ones coming up at San Antonio, at Minnesota, then home against Dallas, at Portland, versus Toronto at home, versus Minnesota at home. Then their schedule softens up at Sacramento, versus Atlanta, versus Portland, at Orlando, at Miami, at Cleveland. So, like, even if they start 1-5 or 1-6, 2-5, whatever,
right?
Like, I'm still not going to be mashing that panic button because just, like, look at their schedule. You just have to, like, as you said, and we said it repeatedly this summer, was, like, yes, every time LeBron changes teams, the Heat in 2010 were 9-8. The Cavs in 2014 were, like, a 500 team for the first 2 months of the season. This always happens with LeBron teams. You had too much turnover to develop chemistry in, like, the 3-week span from training camp to preseason. It's going to take time, and it's going to take time for these guys to figure out their roles. These suspensions definitely will not help. I mean, it's going to be tough for them to beat Denver without Ingram and Rondo. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, that sucks. And, yes, that is a concern. If they keep doing dumb shit like that, they really might miss the playoffs. But I'm not jumping aboard the, you know, they're definitely going to miss the playoffs because of this first week bandwagon.
No. Like, we can look at it in a different way. Like, from a basketball perspective, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, the concern is all about, like, the locker room and the chemistry issues. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. That won't stop me from, you know, God forbid if they lose to Phoenix tonight, I'm definitely going to tweet, like, the GIF from Arrested Development with Job just saying, I've made a huge mistake. We're going to say that's LeBron right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just a reminder, LeBron, you could have come to the Sixers. I know we don't have Hollywood, but you wouldn't be 0-3, my dude. But no, they'll be fine. Another team that I think is going to be fine, but another team that is 0-3 to start, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I'm so glad I wasn't one of those weird guys out there who were hyping them up all year. Like, you know the type, Brian, right? Those obnoxious people who are just like, oh, the defense is going to be so good. It doesn't matter. Everything else. Like, you know the type.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, that was before. For one, Westbrook didn't play the first 2 games. And for two...
That should be an asset.
And second, that was before Roberson was announced to be out for multiple months. So yeah, I that's unfortunate. My Jets on the Thunder before the season started. I had them lower in the standings than I would otherwise. But, like, are you concerned about them at all? I mean, like, there's no shame in losing without Westbrook. There's no shame in losing on the road opening night at Golden State. Losing by only 8 points, I'd say, is frankly impressive. Mm. Again, they lost to the Clippers on Friday without Westbrook. Again, the Clippers are feisty. Like, they're a decent team. The one concerning loss, home against Sacramento on Sunday with Westbrook back at the lineup, they lose 131-120. And now they've got Boston Thursday night. They have another Clippers game coming up on Tuesday. They sandwich that with the Suns. Then they've got some winnable ones coming up as well. So, you know, 2 more against the Suns, Knicks, Dallas, Cleveland, Charlotte, the Kings. So, like, they can right the ship pretty quickly.
Yeah.
When are you going to mash the panic button on the Thunder?
I'm going to give them some time because here's the thing. Defense also takes time to settle in. Like, when you are building a new identity and a new culture where it's all about the defensive end, you're going to go through growing pains. So I'm not really that concerned. I mean, Paul George is healthy. Right now, he's struggling a bit. That's not going to continue. The team as a whole is shooting under 24% from downtown. That's not going to hold, obviously. Right. I think they're going to be fine. It's just a matter of, you know, them recalibrating their expectations. and maybe acknowledging, oh, okay, maybe we're not going to fight for, you know, a finals berth this year.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, we just want to make noise. We want to establish ourselves and make people or teams aware that we're here and we're going to be, you know, tough as hell, you know, to go through us.
Right.
You might do that, but you'll come out banged on the other side. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's...
They have all of their main pieces signed for a while. Like, George, Westbrook, Adams, and Schroeder are all under contract.
Mm-hmm.
Adams is under for multiple years still, right?
I believe he is, yes.
I think because he signed the four-year deal, like, 2 years ago, so he should be at least two more years. Oh, no, three more years. So, yeah, like, they've got George, Westbrook, Schroeder, and Adams all under contract for three more years. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I hesitate to include Schroeder as a main piece to that puzzle, seeing as he's shooting 28% from the field. But, you know, like, it's not as imperative that they hit the ground running right away. They have a while to mesh with this core. So I'm likewise, I'm not concerned yet. I think, you know, again, getting Roberson back whenever that happens, that's when we'll start to see the Thunder, who I thought could be, you know, the second best team in the West, that kind of caliber team. But, like, talk to me after the stretch. Phoenix, New York, Phoenix, Sacramento.
Right.
If they don't go at least 3-1 there, then I'll start to get a little alarmed. And they have Dallas before that too, actually. So that's a 5-game. Really, they should go no worse than 3-2. Probably.
Well, the Dallas isn't a cake. Dallas isn't a cakewalk, though.
I know, and it's at Dallas. So, like, yeah. Really, if they're not at least 3-2 in that stretch, I'm very concerned.
And Harrison Barnes is back by then, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
I think he is.
I'm not entirely sure.
I mean, that's losable, that one.
That one definitely is. But, I mean, still, like, those are...
Right.
You know, again, it goes back to what I was saying about Denver earlier. Those are the games you need to win.
Yeah.
Because you're going against so many good Western Conference teams otherwise that...
Right.
You know, if you aren't picking up those games, so that's what plagued the Thunder last year. Is like, they would start to get on a roll, and then they'd lose to a shitty team, and they would be like, all their momentum was just snapped. Like, you just need to beat up on the bad teams. So then, when you travel to Golden State on November 21st, it's okay if you lose that game because you just beat up on the Suns and the Kings the two games before that.
Having said all that, I want to turn the question around to you in a slightly different way.
Okay.
Are you nervous about their offense?
The
long haul?
Like, that was the question with them coming into the year, right?
Right. It was. Yeah, and still is.
I mean, I don't think I've seen anything from their offense the first couple games that I didn't expect to see. Like, I figured they would struggle offensively, especially without Westbrook those first couple games.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's back, I think that's going to make life easier for everyone else. I think George, Schroeder, you know, hopefully some of the shooters start to knock down shots. Like,
right.
Abrinas is shooting 37% overall. Terrence Ferguson's at 13%. Jeremy Grant's at 26%. I mean, none of those guys are especially high efficiency anyway, but I think just Westbrook crashing into the teeth of the defense and then kicking out will make it easier. So, like, yeah, I still have the questions that I had coming into the year. But, you know, I don't think I've been surprised necessarily that a lot of their guys, especially without Westbrook, just aren't shooting the ball that well. Did I expect them to have the league's worst offense right now, which is what they're at?
Mm.
No. Do I expect them to have a top 10 offense this year? No.
Right. Middle of the pack, maybe slightly below.
Yeah, that seems... Because if you pair that with the top 5 defense, it's still a playoff team.
It is. It's not like a championship contender team, but it's certainly a playoff team and one that could make it to the second round. I agree.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So very, you know, Utah-esque.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go with the Houston Rockets now.
Why did you have that on your list? Just because they're 1-2?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they were a 65-win team last year.
Right.
You know, there were concerns about their offseason. They start the season with a home thumping at the hands of the Pelicans. They lost at the Clippers without Chris Paul.
But, right.
You know, like, so are you nervous at all about that? Or are you just,
No. Look, okay, so let's look at the first game. The Pelicans played the best game they've played in franchise history. Like, there's nothing you can... there's nothing you can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat the Lakers, you know, in the game that the fight occurred. And then they lost by three to the Clippers without Chris Paul. And, like, they were still coming up. Like, I think that was the day after.
It was.
Like, they were still kind of shell-shocked over that whole ordeal. So, like, I'm not nervous at all regarding the, you know, the Rockets. I mean, I honestly think, you know, the CP3 suspension, that was two games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be a, you know, a blessing in disguise because he's getting up there in age. You know, whenever, whenever you can sit him for a couple of games, you take it.
Right.
It's fine. Well,
are you nervous about their defense at all? They are currently
24th. I'm always.
But last year they were 7th. This year they're 24th. It's early, of course, but...
Well, you know, even like last year...
That's a marked decline.
Right, but even last year, you would be lying to me if you said in the playoffs that you weren't at least concerned they would fall into their bad habits that they've displayed, you know, in the years prior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always concerned to some extent with, you know, Houston's defense, especially now that Trevor Ariza isn't around. I will say this, though. Like, right now, they're holding teams to 28% from, you know, from outside, which leads the league. So it's not like they're not doing things. And again, you know, the statistical whooping, you know, they got in against the Pelicans.
Right.
It just skewed the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not concerned. I'm concerned about their defense. No more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, not concerned whatsoever. It's fine. Yeah. Not even about Melo, who hasn't really been... I don't want to say good, because obviously he hasn't. He hasn't, I want to say, playable. Right. But I think that will come around.
Yeah, 8 points on 32% shooting so far.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. At least he's rebounding really well, but...
That's true.
That's about it.
But yeah, I mean, he's not giving you... even with the Thunder last year, he wasn't great, but he was still giving you 16 points on, like... around 40% shooting. This is
I mean, again, he's not going to finish the season shooting 32%, so right. That's going to bounce back. It's just a matter of him finding his spots. They'll come around. Like he's 9 for 28, you know, shooting for the season. Like, he had games in New York with that line.
Right.
It's like, right. I'm looking at those three games, so I'm just going, that's one bad game. Like, that's one bad Knicks game for him.
And more than half of his field goal attempts have been from three. I think he just needs to get used to this idea that he's, like, not the number one option on this team anymore. Right.
FIBA Melo. He needs to channel it.
Yeah. Who else? Oh, yeah. The Jazz? Are you worried about them at 1-2?
No, I'm, you know... I will say this, though. Teams have kind of figured out that Donovan Mitchell is good. And they've figured out that they, you know, outside of Donnie, there isn't a lot of firepower there. So they've done what I feared, which is just basically telling everyone, hey, form a wall around Donovan Mitchell and let everyone else beat you.
Right.
So far, that guy has been Joe Ingles.
Yeah, it has.
It's been awesome. I mean, look.
So good.
Let me, if you put up a picture, like just of Joe Ingles, like in an everyday outfit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you told me that guy would be averaging 19 points, 5 assists, 4.5 rebounds, almost 3 steals, and be shooting 50% from downtown in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
I would probably have called the cops on you. Because you were a weirdo, and you would be doing weird stuff to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's been awesome. But they need to find a way to get Donnie going.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, 34% overall.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, though, that he might be a slow starter. Remember last year as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
He could be one of those guys who have to play himself into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. We'll figure that out. Like, next, if he does that, does the same next year and the next year again, like, we'll know. There's a pattern.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily nervous in the long term, but right now it does seem like, you know, teams are keying in on him a lot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of thing with the Thunder. It's like they realize the offense is only going to come from a few sources. And, like,
right.
You know, Ricky Rubio is not helping by shooting 25% overall. you know, as you said, Ingles is really giving them a boost they need. But yeah, if like Donnie can't get going, Rubio can't get going. Exum's played okay off the bench.
He has. Jay Crowder has delivered.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, compared to last year, the market upgrade. So yeah, I'm likewise. I'm not too worried about Utah. I mean, like I think they'll be fine. The only concern, look, you lose to the Warriors on like a Jonas Jerebko tip-in, whatever. Like that, we're having a much different conversation about the Jazz if Jonas Jerebko misses that shot because they're 2-1. But losing at home against Memphis, only scoring 84 points against Memphis. It'll be interesting. We're gonna see Houston's awful defense against Utah's awful offense tonight. And that will be an interesting test. And then they go to New Orleans on Saturday. That's going to be an interesting test. So if they fall to 1-4 on the year, then it might be, cue the Charles Barkley meme. Then we need to start a conversation. But right now, I think they're okay.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I know you have something queued up here.
I do.
About a big rant, but I just want to,
I think you have other disappointments on your mind.
Yeah, it's not so much a disappointment as me laughing my ass off. Okay. So through the first three games of the season, here's the situation with the Bulls, okay? They have three rotation players who are out with long-term injuries. Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, and Denzel Valentine. So they're starting point guard, starting power forward, and they're six man. Or, well, seventh math, honestly. The leading scorer, Zach LaVine, has called out his coach. Wendell Carter, their 19-year-old rookie, has called out the entire team for their lack of defense. And the newly acquired $20 million man, Jabari Parker, has completely and utterly mentally checked out. We're three games into the season.
Good. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, is that a surprise? No, because we kind of assumed the Bulls would be a shit show. And like, is it a disappointment? No, because like,
not really.
Really, you need Wendell Carter to wake the rest of the team up. I guess like Jabari is a disappointment, sort of.
The thing is, he's been offensively, he's just been gunning for his own numbers,
right? Of course,
and he's gotten them. And defensively, like, there's a sequence. From The Athletic has this on his Twitter. There is a video of, I think it was Blake, like, it was against the Pistons. They played against the Pistons. And I think Blake caught an offensive rebound. It was off a long three, I believe. And, Jabari was supposed to be guarding him. And as soon as Blake caught the ball, Robin Lopez instead rotated out on Griffin. And he also was fighting with, his man and someone. It's like they were just crashing the paint. And Jabari Parker, fully knowing that Blake Griffin was his man, just stood outside the three-point line for several seconds just looking at the play until Blake scored. Just like completely disengaged, not active whatsoever, and then he just like kind of jogged back on offense.
Oh, boy.
He is just, I mean, from a basketball perspective, like, you do not want to play basketball with Jabari Parker right now.
Yep, that seems safe to say. I will say, you got to be at least a little surprised Zach LaVine has started the season this hot, at least in terms of efficiency.
Right. No, I'm actually going to go further to that point. He has looked better, not just in terms of the efficiency, because obviously unsustainable.
Right.
It's the matter of which he's scoring. Like, he's actually attacking the rim. He is he's getting to the free throw line. He's actively trying to draw fouls. Like, he's seeking contact. And on his jump shot, like, he's no longer hesitating, which was always Zach's thing. Like, Zach is, I crab it on the Bulls a lot. I will give Zach LaVine this. Like, he is a wonderful shooter. It's just a matter of finding the right shots. Like his stroke and his, you know, his ability to just find the net even on weird angles, always been amazing.
Yeah.
So he's calmed down a lot. And he's understanding it. Oh, okay. You know, if I have this one dribble pull up available, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to take it. And I kind of like that aggressiveness. He's understanding that, you know what, I need to go out and I need to be a consistent offensive force. And if he's shooting a couple jumpers that are short, he's actually changing it up and saying, you know what, it's not falling right now. I need to get to the line so I can see a couple free throws go in. He's playing intelligent offensive basketball and, you know, is actually, don't get me wrong, I'm just going to, you know, point out a contrast here. Offensively, like he's MVP caliber right now. Right. Defensively, he is barely a G League player.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, that's the next step. And Bulls fans are sitting there going, oh, that will come. I'm not sure. I will say this, though. If this guy's going to end up scoring 27 a game and do so with on it like a true shooting percentage that's like close to 60, if that's where we end up with, like, fine, that's worth his contract. I'll take that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've been surprised that he's been... Look, I expected him to be better than he was last year.
Right.
The degree to which he is better is a pleasant surprise.
Like, yeah.
Shout out to Zach LaVine for making a lot of Bulls fans, including you, eat their words through the first week of the season, at least.
I'll give him that. I mean, look, just so people don't get the wrong idea, I love to eat my words with every team. Like, whenever a player shows me something I didn't anticipate, awesome.
Yeah.
The league is better for it.
Amen to that. Okay. I'm going to channel some rage.
Yeah. I'm just going to shut off the mic and go make a cup of coffee, whatever.
Because you always say I shit on other fans and make people check out. So I'm turning the cannon on my own team today.
Oh, really? Brian, if we're going to lose our Philly fans on this podcast, we're going to be down to like one.
You know, we might be. But like, look, I get it, Philly fans. Like, the Eagles suck right now. They keep blowing a lot of leads that they shouldn't be blowing. And their season is effectively over. And I'm just as frustrated as you are. And I want to turn to the Sixers and be able to enjoy that. But if every fucking game turns into a referendum on Brett Brown and how he's managing Markel Fultz, this season's going to be miserable for all of us, okay? Like, that was the whole storyline coming out of a sensational... That Pistons-Sixers game is one of the best, most entertaining games of the year so far. Like, all we should be talking about is Blake Griffin being fantastic and Joel Embiid being fantastic and J.J. Redick being fantastic. But instead, the whole fucking story is about how Markel Fultz got benched at the start of the fourth quarter and didn't see another minute, and now Brett Brown needs to be fired because he doesn't know how to handle faults. Like, this is stupid, okay? Like, this is... I wrote about it last week, and I'm going to keep writing about it until we all shut up. This is a very weird situation. Like, teams don't... Teams who are good... Like, you know who gets rookie point guards? Like, top five pick rookie point guards? Really shitty teams. Because that's how you get a top five pick. You're really bad. Like, it's rare for a team with the players of the caliber of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons who are ready to win 50-plus games right now. It's rare to have another top five pick added to that mix. It's especially rare when that top five pick goes through a rookie season in which he forgets how to shoot despite being a 40% shooter in college. So this is, like, uncharted territory for Brett Brown, and he's trying to feel his way through it. And yeah, like, maybe this, you know, start Fultz, but then sometimes start J.J. Redick in the second half and play Fultz like 25 minutes, but don't play him 30 or 35. Maybe that's not the optimal solution. But, like, I don't fault Brown, especially in the early going, for just trying to, like, just experiment. You're just, like, throwing shit at the wall and see what happens and see what sticks and, like, see what works, see what doesn't. I'm sure he will adjust. I just tweeted out earlier today a picture of the Sixers' schedule over the next month. They have a lot of winnable games. Like, I'm not going to fault Brown for in a close game against the Pistons where Ish Smith had blown by Markel three times in the first 90 seconds of the fourth quarter. I don't blame him for going back to TJ McConnell, who he's been with for 3+ years and who doesn't provide much on offense, but he's a good defensive pest. He's a good player on that end of the court, and he knows he can trust TJ not to get blown by. Like, he's not. I don't think Brett is going to sacrifice games just to have Markel out there in crunch time. Again, is that the right decision for their long-term future? I don't know, and I don't think Brett does, and I think he's going to reevaluate as time goes on. But over the next month, knock on wood, there shouldn't be that many close games because they're going to be playing, like, these Eastern Conference bottom feeders. So can we please just all chill out. Like, we're going to get spanked by the Bucks tonight because Ben Simmons probably isn't going to play, and that's fine. But, the next month should be very enjoyable. There should be very few, like, obvious losses on the schedule. Let's just let this play out as it's going to and not turn every game into, oh, Markel Fultz is back. Oh, Markel Fultz is the bust. He's broken. He's never going to play in the NBA again. He should go to China. Oh, Brett Brown's the greatest coach ever. Oh, Brett Brown should be fired. He sucks. He's trash. He's Scotty Brooks. Like, let's fucking chill on the hot takes for 1 month. Just a 1 month moratorium. Let's revisit it in late November, and we're going to have a much better idea of how he and Fultz and everything is going. The end.
So while you were talking, right?
Oh, no.
No. I was, because I'm just doing weird shit when you're, sure, when you're going on a rant. Did you know that Corey McGetty only played in 12 playoff games?
I did not.
No, me neither. Now I know. The more you know.
Yeah, that's a fun stat.
Yeah, this is where I go. I just go deep into the basketball reference database, or you go into your rant.
You know, like, it's Sixers Twitter's been so miserable this year. Like, it's not Brett Brown's fault you had inflated expectations that you shouldn't have had. They aren't better than Boston. So they aren't better than Toronto.
You need a wake-up call here. Sixers Twitter, not this year just. Yeah. Okay, I love you, and I love a lot of the Sixers fans out there.
Yeah.
But good Lord, man. Look, remember the tweet that I put out in April, I want to say, where I said, fuck it, Boston's going to win the 2019 NBA championship?
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
So that was mostly Philly fans in my mentions on that one.
Sure.
Arguing that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid would eat everyone's lunch, mm-hmm, that Jason Tatum was nothing more than just a blip on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
This was in April, so Tatum had proved himself over the course of a full season.
Right.
Like, there is a... How can I put this kindly? There is a lack of connection to who they think they are and to the, reality.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I feel with Markel Fultz in particular, because of the weirdness of that injury, or whatever the hell it was, I feel bad even calling it an injury, because I don't know what it was. I don't think anyone really knows. It seems to be very knee-jerk all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's frustrating. You traded up for him. Number one pick. Supposed to be like Dwayne Wade with a three-pointer.
Right.
And instead, he's like, TJ McConnell, but worse defensively right now.
Right.
Which is just not great.
Yeah.
I get it, but like, give the kid a chance. And yes. And by the way, like, Brett Brown, like, if there's one guy you shouldn't go after.
Right. Like, I tweeted it last night. Like, he kept the team together through 3 years of the most egregious tanking we've ever seen in the NBA. Like, over that long a period. And like, he kept the locker room locked in. He kept a good culture going.
Mm-hmm.
He oversaw a 42-win increase in the last 2 years. They went from 10 wins in 2015-2016 to 52 last year.
Yeah.
And now he has people calling for his head because he is benching a rookie, or an effective rookie point guard, in the fourth quarter of a close game after he got whooped on defense.
There's a way you can block sentences on Twitter. I know you can block words, but you can block sentences, right?
Yeah.
Brett Brown fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brett Brown fire. Whatever. Something in that. Yeah, just block that because fire, it's dumb. Brett. Yeah, fire Brett. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry to come at you, Philly people, but like, I'm one of you. And I just, like, we all need to get through this together. And the only way we're going to do it is if we, like, we've been preaching patience with the process for years. This is still part of it. Trust the damn process. Let Brett do his thing. You don't know more than him. You are on your computer. You are not in the locker room. He knows more than all of us. Trust him.
Can I also interject real quick that, you know, look at the alternative. Philly fans have one of the best centers in the league, one of their best forwards in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wouldn't have done that, and, you know, obviously because of Sam Hinkie. But, like, let's look at where they were just a couple of years ago. They had nothing. Like,
literal nothing.
Right. I mean, even before Sam Hinkie came in, like, you mentioned this several times, like, they gave up everything for Andrew Bynum.
Right.
Who didn't play a game.
Right.
I believe.
No, not a single minute.
Not a single minute. So, you know, it's just, sometimes you just need to look at what you have compared to what you used to have, especially with Philly, and just, like, realize, hey, you're kind of fortunate. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, Kings fans would love to be you.
Right. I think the problem is they went into the summer talking about star hunting, and then they come into the season talking about our goal is the NBA Finals. So they did not help with the inflated expectations. They put that on themselves. And now when it's clear that a team like Boston and a team like Toronto is better than them, like, there's this day of reckoning with the fan base where it's like, oh, but we were told we're going to win the title this year. But, like, this is just the gradual life cycle of the NBA. You don't go from 10 wins to a championship in 2 or 3 years. It takes a little bit more time than that.
Oh, Marco no. Fultz,
he's played fewer than 400 minutes. Like, he's going to suck.
And it's just part of the process. And in his prime, Kyrie Irving, and in prime, Al Horford, in prime, Gordon Hayward, is better than my 24-year-old center and 21-year-old forward.
Right. Like, if anything, like, there are things to get genuinely excited about. Like, I saw a tweet today that Embiid has slashed his turnover rate on post-ups in half, which is great, because that was, like, one of his biggest flaws last year. His footwork, which was already great, has gotten better. He is, like, he has more counters to post moves. He looks legitimately unstoppable at times. Robert Covington is creating off the dribble this year, which is something he could not do last year, and that makes him a substantially better player. Like, if that is not just a 2 or 3 or 4 game fluke, and that's just a thing, which he said he worked on over the summer, like, if that holds true, that raises the Sixers ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just let this Fultz stuff play out.
Agreed. Like,
let's not jump to conclusions after every goddamn game. He hits 1-3, and suddenly he's back. Like, great, he hit a three. He's going to have to hit a lot more. Like, that's going to become second nature over time. And I get getting excited about it right now because it's just new and novel and we haven't seen it that much. But, like, we're just not there. Like, Toronto is there. Toronto is in a win now. We need to win right now because we don't know if Kawhi Leonard is going to be on our team next year. Boston is in win now because we, you know, Kyrie says he's coming back, but who knows until the signature's on the line. Who knows what happens to Al Horford? We can't afford to re-sign those guys and keep Terry Rozier and keep Marcus Morris and Aaron Baines. And, like, the financial crunch is coming for them more quickly than it is for Philly. Philly's, like, a year or two away, and that's fine. Right. Just, like, everyone realizes that. The sooner everyone realizes it, the better. Otherwise, I'm just going to have to, like, never tweet during Sixers games. That was my lesson last night.
I think if, I mean, you say that so frequently.
I know.
I shouldn't tweet an hour later. Yeah. Oh, look at what I found.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, I thought...
No, I was playing you. Oh, I was playing you on Twitter. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm never going to tweet again. And then you're right to back up it. No, don't worry.
Yeah,
I know. We've had some Vogue bombs on this podcast. Not this time. Everything is smooth for at least for now. When we log off, that's when shit falls down.
Well, tonight, I will legitimately stay off Twitter as the Bucks beat us by 50. In the meantime, please do follow us on Twitter, where you can get into inane Markel Fultz debates with me. You can also find us at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews.
are being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. So check them out on Twitter at AlmightyCast. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
Thank you, Brian. You too. I'm really looking forward to 2030, I believe, to call on this podcast, my son being drafted number one. He had his, you know, he returned to basketball practice this week.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian, unlike Markelle Fultz, the boy can shoot.
I'm not responding to that. I'm calling the FBI, you goddamn terrorist.
Later.
Later.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Bundle home and auto with Progressive and save on your car insurance. Excuse me, maybe we should add in the word money so they know that they're saving money. I'm just going to add that in there, okay? Yeah, hello? Just nodding at me. Okay, well, he's got enough buttons to push in there.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations. And now, an ad from Dad.
Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Yeah. Tell you another way to save money. Don't buy those expensive coffees every morning, you know. And then you can save up for a really nice dress shirt. I'm just saying, it's great that you feel comfortable here at work, but, you know, an adult could walk in.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.